I would first like to wish all our fathers here this morning a very happy Father's Day, and please know I will be remembering you in the Mass this morning. The epistle for the second Sunday after Pentecost, or the Sunday within the octave of Corpus Christi, is taken from St. John's first epistle, chapter 3. Dearly beloved, wonder not if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in himself. In this we have known the charity of God, because he hath laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He that hath the substance of this world and shall see his brother in need, and shall shut up his heart from him, how doth the charity of God abide in him? My little children, let us love not in word nor in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 14. At that time, Jesus spoke to the Pharisees this parable. A certain man made a great supper and invited many, and he sent his servant at the hour of supper to say to them that were invited that they should come, for now all things are ready. And they began all at once to make excuse. The first said to him, I have bought a farm, and I must needs go out and see it. I pray thee, hold me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to try them. I pray thee, hold me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. The servant returning told these things to his lord. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the feeble and the blind and the lame. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the lord said to the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. But I say unto you that none of these men that were invited shall taste of my supper. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In this we have known the charity of God, because he hath laid down his life for us. Words taken from today's epistle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, last November, in fact, it was the day after Thanksgiving Day, the priests, seminarians, and brothers went to the Purple Heart Museum in New Windsor, New York. The Purple Heart is the oldest military decoration that is awarded to soldiers wounded or killed in combat. The Purple Heart was originally called the Badge of Military Merit, and was first given by George Washington in the year 1782. And thus today, the Purple Heart bears the image of George Washington, our first and greatest president of the United States. But while we were there viewing the many fascinating exhibits, I came across a display dedicated to a certain Corporal John J. Donnelly. Corporal Donnelly was a Catholic from Orange County, New York. He served in the United States Army during World War I and was awarded the Purple Heart. But part of the display included a letter that he had written in pencil to his sister while he was in France and preparing to go to the front lines during the Great War. The letter is dated Monday, August 12th, 1918. Here is what he wrote. Dear sister, I received your letter and I was glad to hear from you. Well, sister, it looks like we will be going to the front line trenches at last after a year of training. I am in fine condition and I am ready for anything. I have been going to confession and communion every chance I have. 2 weeks is the longest that I have been away from Mass. I was to communion last Tuesday through Sunday and this morning. And if anything happens, I will have communion in the trenches. So I am happy. And I am ready for anything. And I know that you are all praying for me. So if anything happens, you know that I have done my duty and that I have died happy. And I will be happy with God forever. Well, sister, don't cease praying for me. Tell Helen to pray for me. I will close with love to all. Your loving brother, Jack. Corporal John J. Donnelly was killed in battle sometime after this letter had been written and before the armistice of November 11th, 1918. Now in today's epistle, St. John writes, "In this we have known the charity of God, because he hath laid down his life for us." And by these words, the apostle reminds us that the Son of God loves us so much that he became a man and died for our sins. And the church, among other reasons, ordains this epistle to be read each year on this Sunday within the octave of Corpus Christi in order to remind us that in the Holy Eucharist, the same Son of God who died on the cross for love of us is really, truly present in the Blessed Sacrament and loves us all the same. On the night before he died, our divine Savior gave us the holy sacrifice of the Mass, at which his death is really and truly shown upon the altar, but in an unbloody manner. But to accomplish this unfathomable mystery of faith, he gave us himself in the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. And thus our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God and Savior, is truly, really, and substantially present under the appearance of bread and wine during the Mass after the time of the consecration, and under the appearance of bread in the host in our tabernacle. The same Jesus Christ who was born in the stable at Bethlehem, who was scourged, who was crowned with thorns, and nailed to a cross upon which he died. This same Jesus Christ who rose from the dead and ascended into heaven is here now. He is here at this very moment. He is here every day in this tabernacle. And he is here for us, even as he desires that we be here for him. He is here to be received by us in Holy Communion. He is here for the saints and the sinners. He is here for the strong and the weak among us. He is here to bestow actual graces upon us and even temporal and material blessings if such things are spiritually profitable to us. He is thus here to listen to our prayers, our requests, our difficulties, and all our troubles. He is here to offer us His love, His mercy, His comfort, and His consolation. What a treasure we have, my dear friends. What a grace. What gift has been given to us. Corporal John Donnelly wrote to his sister from France on that August 12, 1918. And in that letter, he told her that he was soon going to the front line trenches to do his duty as a soldier and thus possibly lose his life. But he expressed to her his happiness, or if you will, he expressed his peace of soul. But what was it that gave him such a happiness or peace, a peace of mind, peace of soul? Though he knew he was going into the valley of the shadow of death, for in going to the front lines and into those trenches where there was death and disease, to name a few things, John Donnelly knew he was entering into a kind of hell on earth. But the sacraments, confession, but especially Holy Communion, the real presence of Christ, was the reason for his happiness or his peace of soul. The real presence of the Eucharistic heart of Christ was his consolation. If anything happens, he wrote to his sister, I will have communion in the trenches, so I am happy and I am ready for anything. By anything, he meant death. And thus he went on to say, if anything happens, you know that I have done my duty, and that I have died happy, and I will be happy with God forever. What a trust he had in the Eucharistic Christ. The Holy Eucharist was his consolation, his strength, his confidence, and his peace. And how much a consolation, a strength, a confidence, and a peace, my dear friends, the presence of the Eucharistic Christ ought to be for us. I say this especially in light of the fact that we do live at a time, perhaps more than ever before, in which the spirit of Antichrist is everywhere in this world. What is happening in our nation today? What is happening in the world around us? An unprecedented inflation, economic and social strife, an increase in crime and violence in our cities, an increase that is off the charts. But worst of all, my dear friends, worst of all, the most disgraceful and detestable sins, impurities, and perversions, which things call down God's wrath and vengeance upon a nation. These things are being taught, they are being promoted, they are being pushed, and even embraced as the new normal. And this is being done by politicians at all levels of government, by public schools, by the media, and numerous corporations and organizations, including local libraries, Major League Baseball, and Disney. In fact, Disney seems to be leading the entertainment industry in making movies, programs, and cartoons as fast as they can, and even toys for children that are meant to desensitize people and plant the seeds of perversion into little children. And I don't believe it's a mere coincidence that the month of June, the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, is the month in which these people especially worship, glorify, and boast of their debaucheries and their unnatural perversions in public parades and displays. How brazen they are. They act as if they are going to get away with this. You can be sure the people in Sodom and Gomorrah acted the same way before the fire fell down from heaven and consumed them all. But you know, I mentioned to you this Friday is the great feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. How hurt, how broken, how pierced his heart must be by all these evils, especially this perversion, which is now being promoted, as I say, and pushed as the new normal. How hurt he must be. This chapel should be filled on Friday. This chapel should be filled to capacity on this Feast of the Sacred Heart, where we who are friends of the Sacred Heart, we who are his devoted ones, we who believe in him, will come here to make reparation to him. Will come here and pray for the conversion of these poor sinners so that the fire that falls upon them is the flames of the Sacred Heart to move them to convert and repent of their sins. For our Lord died on the cross for them too. This chapel should be filled on Friday with the friends of the Sacred Heart who are here to express their love to him, our loyalty, our devotion, and to pray for the conversion of these poor sinners. We are, my dear friends, we are in the trenches. We are on the front lines of a great spiritual battle. A great spiritual battle for our souls, for the souls of our children, for our faith, our church, and our nation. How we must be so faithful to daily prayer. How we must be so faithful to praying the rosary every day, as the Lady of Fatima asked, and wearing her brown scapular to obtain her protection. How we must keep ourselves, as St. James put in his epistle, unspotted from this world. That is, being pure and chaste, keeping impure, perverse, and immodest entertainment out of our lives and out of our homes. even as we are ever confident that our captain and our King, Jesus Christ, is with us. He is with us. He is not just some distant memory. He is not just a portrait or a painting. He is not just here in spirit. He is truly, really present among us in the Holy Eucharist. And how like Corporal John J. Donnelly, we ought to trust him and have peace in our hearts. Ever consoled and comforted by the presence of the Eucharistic heart of Christ, even as we strive to love him all the more and to receive him in Holy Communion with the most fervent and pious dispositions. No matter what happens, my dear friends, Jesus is here. He is with us. And may we then ever be comforted by his real presence and the love of his Sacred Heart. And may the Immaculate Heart of Mary ever be our life, our sweetness, and our hope. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.